Yeah, I prayed about what I wanted to preach today, and you said, awesome. Works out real good. And I had prayed the first of the week, and I didn't know really where I wanted to go with this and with the fasting and stuff. You know, my mind was on food a lot of times. Amen. But as I began to pray and seek the Lord on what direction I really wanted to go, last week I preached on the topic, unless you repent. And if you look at the news and the things that's going on in the world right now, you wonder, how far are we out from this thing? How far is the biblical prophecy of all those countries in the Middle East coming together? Where is this timeline? Where do we fit into this timeline? You know, kind of where we need to go, what's happening. And so I decided I'd title my message again today, Unless You Repent, Part 2. Because I want to show you some things. I talked to you some things about repenting last week, but I want to show you some things today in the Word of God that you will not get to receive unless you repent. I want to show you some things that unless you repent, you will have to go through. You will have to endure on some things unless you repent. So repentance, as we learned last week, is a kind of a twofold word. Number one, it means to turn from your way, turn a direction, go away from one direction, go the other. It also means to confess, repent. I confess of my sin. So it's kind of a dual meaning here. But I want to, if guys, can you show me a timeline? Now, you're going to have to put that baby down back here, because my grandbaby's with Hunter, and I'm going to be focused right there on my little pumpkin back there. Amen. Now, where we are, I'm not going to teach on timeline end times tonight. I'm going to teach on some end time stuff, but not on this chart. I want to put this up there so you see where we are. The church ages over on the left. We can debate and argue about the rapture of the church. Some believe it's pre-trib, some mid, some post, whatever. That's not what we're talking about today. So there's the church age, there's the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, which is 1,000 years. Then there's the final judgment and the eternal state. That's where you'll be forever. I'm going to talk about the final judgment today, because it affects every person that has ever been born, that will ever be born, that is born living now. It affects that particular thing, no matter what you believe about the rest of it. No matter what you believe about when the rapture is going to take, or if it's 7 years, 3.5, well, it doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter about the millennial reign. None of that really matters to you except one thing in this whole timeline, and that's final judgment. Because the other stuff, it's going to happen regardless. It's a time frame. But that final judgment is personal. The final judgment comes down to you and your decisions and yours only. Not the churches, not the pastors, not the denomination, not the government. It comes down to you. And you're solely responsible for what happens at the final judgment. You are solely rewarded for what happens at the final judgment. No one else, just you. So, now that you know where we're, the area that we were talking about, if you have your Bibles, and I encourage you to read your Bibles, bring your Bibles, bring your whatever, your tablet, your device, and look at the Word of God. In Revelations chapter 1, I want to set up something, and we're going to stay in Revelations today, but I want to set something up. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, there's about 21, 22 chapters there in the book of Revelation. John has arguably 8 visions. Some say 7, some say 8. It just depends on where you want to start and stop the next one, okay? It's irrelevant. The book is him having visions about end times, about things that's going to happen. And one of those visions is final judgment. One of the visions, the last one, actually, whether you count it seven or you count it eight, it doesn't matter. It's the last vision that he's going to have, and it's about final judgment. Did you know that some thousands of years ago, God had you in mind, and you're in a vision? You are in a vision. I don't think you heard me. I said, you were in God's vision the whole time. God set up this thing and moved upon John. Let's show you. I want to show you that it's God-breathed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, and again, there's just a debate about this. It really doesn't matter. I just want to throw something out there for your food for thought. It has been believed that that John, the Apostle John, is also the John the Revelator. It's called the Revelator. Some say no, some say yes. Really doesn't matter. Here's why I'm reading Revelation chapter 1, is to show you that he, whoever he might have been, whether he was the apostle or he wasn't the apostle, it doesn't make any difference, but whoever he was hearing from God. He heard from God. God moved on him. And so if God moves on him and gives him a vision to write the whole book, we need to pay attention. It says in verse 10, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He had a vision. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, John, what you see, I need you to write it down. I want people from here on out to know that it's for them. John, write it down and be detailed when I tell you what I need you to write. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. He lists those seven churches, Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, you say, well, that meant to go to those churches. No, that's symbolic. It did go to those churches, but it's symbolic to go to all people all around the world. John's saying, the Spirit is saying to John, I need you to write this down and let's get it in express mail because this needs to go out. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that it needs to be express mail today. Where we're facing what's going on in the Middle East, I don't do scare tactics. I'm telling you, I've read the book. And there's more things now lining up for those countries to come together, to come against Israel and everybody else involved than any other time in history. And you need to know what's going to happen to you based on your decisions in the final judgment. Now, skip with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John, in another vision. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. I want to stop. I'm going to just kind of do like I do on Wednesday. I'm going to teach you a little bit. Now, if you look at verse 11, John sees this. Can you put the little chart back up, please? The final judgment. That is the great white throne judgment. This is where everything, we're going to read it in a minute. This is where you're going to be judged. This is the final judgment. There'll be no other judgment. This is it. This is the test of all tests. This is the mother test. This is not a pop quiz. This is the test. You either pass it or you fail it. And it's up to you. This is the day. This is what the final judgment, the great white throne judgment, what he's talking about here. The great white throne judgment. It says that he saw someone who sat on it. That's Jesus, okay? He sat on this throne from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. In other words, it was so glorious, he was so holy that the face of the earth couldn't even look upon him. That's how pure and holy this God is that you're going to stand before. And he's going to judge you according to his word against your works. Now, this is not a salvation of works. Do not misunderstand. The gospel is very clear. But the things that you do, you're going to be judged on. If you're blood-bought, saved, and born again, this final judgment is not to determine whether you go to hell or heaven. It is to determine your works, whether they be burned or not. Now watch. It says, and there was... It says, and the face of the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Now, what that really means is, okay, you can't hide from this. You don't get an exemption because you've been too good. You don't get an exemption because you've done all the right stuff and get to pass the final judgment. You are not exempt. There's no place that any person will be able to get out of the final judgment. It can't be found. There's no place found. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. What does that mean, Pastor? That means those that are looked upon from the worldview as being great. Those that are, maybe you think of it as those elites, those Hollywood stars, the presidents, the kings, the queens of all of those that are great and those that are small, those that have nothing, those that are the poorest of the poor. Small and great, everybody in between. He's given a description that no one, from the least to the greatest, everyone will have to stand before God. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying. Everyone in this room will have to stand before this God that no one can look upon. You're going to stand there one day. It doesn't matter if you're big in the community or if you're not big in the community. It doesn't matter if you have two dimes or a gajillion dimes. It doesn't matter. You will stand before God and give an account. You're going to give an account. Verse 12. Let me continue. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Now what? Listen. The books were opened, and another book. So you got some books, and then you got another book. Okay, so we're looking at, in your situation, one-on-one, you got two books. You got some books, and you got the book, okay? So it says, the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So you got this book here, that's a book of life. Then you got another book. What's in the other books? I'm going to show you. You're standing before a judge. Called Jesus, called God. You're standing there, and you got evidence of everything you've ever done in some books. But he also opens up another book. And he's looking in this book, and he's looking in this book. And as you stand before a holy God, as you stand before a glorious God, I can assure you that you're going to be weak-kneed. You're going to be in the most humble state you've ever been because you see this book of every deed you've ever done, and he opened it up, and you say to yourself, why did he have to open up that book? Because I know what's in that book. I know what I've done, and it's in that book, and it's a big volume. But there's another book. There's another book. This other book, watch me, doesn't get you out of final judgment. Watch, get you through the final judgment. Come on, somebody. It doesn't keep you from it. It keeps you through it. Because it's coming. Let me go. And this other book was opened, which is the book of life, verse 12. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea, at verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found. Watch this. Here's the other book. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You have an option today. If you haven't already gotten your name written down in the book of life, you have an option today to escape the lake of fire. But it's your choice. You can say, that's a bunch of hogwash and a bunch of baloney. Well, that's your business. You have that right. Praise the Lord, you have that right to choose or not choose. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what you choose, you're going to stand before God at this final judgment, the great white throne judgment. You're going to stand there, and he's going to open up the books. And he's going to begin to list everything you've ever done. He's going to, every deed that you have ever participated in that was not holy will be judged against a holy God. And you're going to give an account for it. And he's going to say, I saw you do that, Marty, and I saw you say that, and I knew what was in your heart, and I knew you had grudgery and envy and jealousy and strife and malice. I saw it in your heart, and I'm judging you for it today. But God, nobody else saw it. He said, I'm not judging you on what everybody else saw. I'm judging you on what I know. He said he was the Alpha and the Omega. The Word of God says he is the first and the last. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He started you on this journey, and if you put your trust in him, he is able to keep you and finish the work that he started in you if you will allow him to do so. Amen. But it is your choice. It is not your choice to skip the great white throne judgment. You're going to be there. I guarantee it. As my daddy used to say, as sure as God made little Adam and he did, you're going to be there. Amen. So what happens to you at the great white throne judgment if your name's not written in the book of life? Hear me very clear. This is a deep theological subject. You go to hell. Forever. You're going to go to hell if you don't know Jesus. You can't be good enough. You can't own enough. You can't give enough. You can't say enough good stuff, because this thing that I read is not by my works. It's by my faith in Christ Jesus. It's his grace and through faith that gets me to Jesus Christ, and it covers me and it gets my name written in the other book, the most important book. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, the books and then that other book, those books, guess what? They're here and they're real, because God records everything. Can you believe that? That God records everything you ever have done or said? Got a big book. Mine's like a row of encyclopedias. There's volumes and volumes of the foolishness that I have done. I pray I can fill up one page on one book of the good stuff. But those books are important. But the other book. The other book is what will determine where you spend eternity. Is your name in it? Because if it's not in it, I don't want you to get to heaven and say, well, my pastor never told me that. He didn't tell me that I was going to go to hell. Well, if you've been here more than a few times, you already know that. Your name's got to be written in the book. Who's not going to heaven? Who's not going to get to spend eternity with Jesus? Listen to me. Most people. You understand? Most people. That's what the scripture teaches us. Didn't show you something. Most people won't make it to heaven. If I was to get really, really serious with you today, and I think I am, but if I was to get more serious, I would say it like this. If most people aren't going to heaven, there might be most people in the church. There'll be pastors and teachers and preachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons that won't go to heaven. They had the form of godliness, but not that, but denied the power thereof. What does that mean? It means you deny the power that God could really save you. Y'all getting quiet on me in this church, and I ain't getting started good yet. I got 43 more minutes. So who's not going to heaven? According to Scripture, Matthew tells us that there's a wide gate. There's a wide gate. Watch this. And the Word of God says, and many will go in that gate. But there's a narrow gate. And the Word of God says that few will be going in that gate. Why? Because that gate, is what Scripture says, because that gate is difficult. What's difficult about the gate? It's not the size of the gate. It's not. It's the desire of the flesh to not want to enter into a holy gate. I got a horse. My granddaughter's got a horse. And when I open up the big gate, my wife can tell you he loves to run and kick and try to knock your head off when he goes out the gate. He's so excited. He loves to get out of the big gate. But I tried to load him the other day in a horse trailer with a little gate. He didn't like the little gate. Why? Watch. I'm making a point. Because the little gate put some restrictions and confined him to doing one thing. And he didn't want to do it. And guess what? He didn't. And that's the way we are. Because, see, the gospel confines you to a way of life that your flesh says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to conform to that. I don't want to live like that. That's not fun. It's not going to be exciting in my life. And what are people going to think about me? So I don't want to go in that gate. That's why it's difficult. It's not the size of the gate. It really comes down to this. Is your flesh more in control or your spirit? Because the Word of God tells me that my spirit and my flesh, they're at war with each other. They're not at some kind of little skirmish in a conflict. The Bible says that they war against each other. They're butt heads every day, all day long. You have to submit, subdue that flesh. Because if you don't subdue that flesh, it'll rise up on you just like that. It'll come up in you and it'll overtake you if you're not careful. That's why there's a fight. That's why most people won't go to heaven because they don't want to kill the flesh. We've been taught, and look, without grace, you ain't making it. Without grace, I'm not making it, okay? It's the grace of God. It's a gift. And we think sometimes we've been taught this thing for the last 25 years or so, that if you come down to the altar, there's so much grace, and there is. But if you say some little mamby-amby prayer, you go out and you do whatever you want to, you can live like hell, you can shack up with Satan, and you're going to go to heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, that's not what this Bible teaches. It does not teach that. This Bible teaches that when you get saved, there ought to be a change. When you get saved, there ought to be some fleshly things that start dying off. And these fleshly, worldly things ought to fall off you like scales. You ought to have some different look, a different talk, different actions. What you say out of your mouth should be different. Something in your heart ought to be different. There should be some love in your heart for your mankind. That's what happens when you get saved and blood-bought and born again. And if you don't see that, and somebody said, had a little old prayer, and God's still working on them, well, you just diminish the power of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And I believe he's more powerful than it taking him a million years to get you where you need to be. Me and Brian Tuggle one day, a lot of you know Brian Tuggle, we stood right back here in this hallway one day, and we had this conversation about being saved and how the struggle is. And he told me this. He said, "Brother Marty, I believe one thing. A lot of people saying they're getting saved ain't getting saved. There's one thing to say it. I can tell you that I can jump off that balcony right there and jump back up there. But all of y'all in this room know that's a bunch of hogwash. But until you see me do it, that's a different story. You're not going to see me do it, by the way. If I come off that thing, somebody push me. Open investigation. Revelation 21, verse 5. Talking about the great white throne judgment. If I could get some of our musicians to start coming up. Revelation 21:5 says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Still part of this vision. If you go back and read the Revelation, it's still part of this vision that John's having. He says that the one who sat on this throne that we read about a little earlier, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" Watch this. Watch. "I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." You know what that means? Are you ready? You don't get in because you're picked. You don't get in because you might want to go to heaven. You don't even get in heaven because you want to go to heaven. You get into heaven because you confessed your sins and you repented and because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get into heaven. But you got to pass the great white throne judgment first. And you're not getting past it. There's no bypass. You need to hear me this morning. If you've been playing with God, if you've been playing church, if you've been saying, "Well, I'm a Christian," you go every now and then to church, but nothing is changing in your life, I'm here to tell you today, friend, you might not make it. You may be in the crowd that we call the most. I'm not here to condemn you. I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you're doing wrong, convicts you that you're not where you need to be with Christ, because it's going to be a sad state when you stand at the great white throne judgment. No matter if that timeline is all wrong, no matter if they got it flipped backwards, Arvell, it doesn't matter. You're going to stand in front of God. And they're going to be opened. Your stuff is going to be in it. He's going to give you the fountain of the water of life. And it's a free gift. Watch this. "To him who thirsts." You ever been so thirsty? Feel the Holy Ghost. You ever been so thirsty that you knew that a soft drink wasn't going to quench your thirst? You needed some water. You needed that water that man, you would just, oh, it was just going to cool your throat, and you just couldn't get enough, and you go and you drink a whole glass of water, and you go get another one. Think, man, this is good stuff. I want to tell you something. The church has been taught for the last 20, 25 years, just go by and get a little dab of Jesus and he'll do the rest. This Bible says in Revelation that you got a thirst for him, that you got a hunger for him, that we should thirst and hunger after righteousness in our bodies, in our spirit. That's what he's saying. It's not just you show up and, oh, bless me if you can. No, you thirst and you hunger for him. But until you do that, you're going to stay right where you're at. But when you get hungry and thirsty for the Word of God and the things of God, things will begin to change in your life you didn't even know needed to be changed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why he's that agent that is here. Jesus said that it is imperative that I go. But if I go, I'm going to send a comforter, Holy Spirit, a teacher, one that will guide you and help you and show you all things that you've read. He'll bring it to your remembrance. You got to read the Word of God. If you're going to get close to the Word, I mean get close to God, you got to get close to the Word, because they're one and the same. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't separate them. So if you want to get close to God, get in His Word. And you cannot tell me, well, I'm a Christian, but I never read my Word. Something's wrong with that statement, but we have fallen for it as a church. We fall and say, oh, yeah, they're a Christian. They said so. Well, that is contrary to what God's Word teaches. Those who hunger and thirst after me shall be filled. But if you're not hungering and thirsting, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to live like the Holy Spirit, because God's Word says you won't be. It's time to church wake up. It's time that the church says, you know what? I'm tired of playing patty cake with God. I'm tired of going to church and, well, that felt good. Well, I ain't going to go next week because I don't want to. Wait a minute. What about God? Where's God in your life? Let me tell you, when you make those decisions, I don't want to go because I don't want to, it's in the book. It's going to be in the book. Everything you've ever done, you've ever said, is going to be in the book. You're going to stand there one day and say, well, you said you didn't want to. Why? I just didn't want to. I didn't want to be kind. Why? I didn't want to. I know some people, if they could, they're going to argue with God. They're going to say, God, I didn't do that. I didn't say it. I didn't mean it that way. You misunderstood me, God. They misunderstood. Who told you that, God? God said, it's in the book. Let me just pull this up for you. On March the 15th, 2026, at 11:29 a.m., the preacher was talking about the great white throne judgment. And you disengaged, and your mind went to somewhere like where you're going to eat or what you're going to do this afternoon, and you missed it. But he said it right here on this date at this time. But I saw you in your spirit, because the Bible says that God looks beyond the flesh outside, and he looks into the heart of man, and he saw your heart, and he saw it leave you. He saw it over here somewhere, not paying attention to the Word of God. And he wrote it down. You may forget, but he don't. I know this is hard preaching, but I'm here to tell you this morning, this hard preaching could make the difference in you spending eternity in heaven or hell. And that's really what I'm interested in. I don't care if you like me, don't like me, if you clap, you don't clap, because you ain't doing it for me. It's for you. My job, I learned this a long time ago. My job is to preach the gospel. It's your job to respond to it. Did you hear what I said? My job to preach it, your job to respond. I have to respond to it just like you do. Verse 7, Revelation 21, 7. Whoo, I like this part. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son or daughter. Woo! Which leads us to another question. How do I overcome? Through the word of our testimony, blood of the Lamb. That's what the word says. Through the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, we're made overcomers. Come on, somebody. That blood's got to be applied to your life. If the blood is not applied to your life, I can assure you, you're not going to spend eternity in heaven with him. You will spend eternity in hell with Satan and all of his demons and everybody else that chose to walk away from God. What did you just say? The many. And not a M-I-N-I, but a M-A-N-Y. Preacher, I just don't believe like that. You ain't got to believe like that. I'm just reading what the Word of God says. I'm not telling you any new gospel. I'm reading right from the Word of God. You go read it. It's what the Bible says, that many is going to go to hell and a few is going to go to heaven. Well, let's get with the program. Let's get us a busload and let's go to heaven. Verse 8, he gives a list. Verse 7 says that he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and he'll be our God and we'll be his son. Verse 8 starts describing who's not going to heaven for eternity. That's why the Bible is pretty clear to me. He tells you, do this, this happens. You do this, this happens. You know why it's so clear? So that the ones of the most simple mind, like mine, can get it. I'll have no excuse to say, well, God, I didn't have that kind of education. I didn't have a theological doctrinal degree. He didn't have to have. That's what he's going to do. Oh, you don't have to have. I wrote it in plain English, as my daddy used to say. Boy, that's in plain English right there. That's just plain English. Watch this. Verse 8. But the cowardly. Let me just read it all, and then I'm going to come back and explain some of this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're not understanding it very clear where that is, that is an eternal place separated from God that we call hell. Forever. How do you get there? He gives you a pretty good list. Watch. The cowardly, those that are fearful, those that are scared, kind of, and this doesn't mean like scared of the dark. Those that are scared that God's going to call them to do something they don't want to do, so therefore they reject God. Scared of commitment. It's really what that means. You go study it. I've already studied it. Secondly, the unbelieving. Listen to me when I tell you this. This word right here is pistos in the Greek, and it means of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. What he's saying here is if you're unbelieving, if you are not carrying out the duties commanded in this word, you're an unbeliever. Satan believes in God. He's a believer that God does exist. Do you understand that? He believes that God exists. The demons believe, and he says, and they tremble. So it's not about do you believe God? Mm-mm. Everybody believes God, even the atheist. They may tell that you don't, but they do. If Satan does, the head of that side of this dark earth, everybody below him does. So don't tell me that I don't believe in God. Oh, you don't? Well, why do you spend hours trying to refute that he exists? If you don't believe him, look, if I didn't believe in something, I'm not wasting my time. I'm moving on. This word unbelieving means that you got to carry out, watch, the commands and the faithful transactions and discharge the official duties of what a Christian should be doing. That's that word. That's why you need to study the word and words of the word. Because we got a preconceived idea what a word means, and that ain't what it means when he wrote it. Because there's words now that mean something that didn't mean the same thing when I was growing up. These young guys will come and say, well, that truck looks sick. What's wrong with it? When I see one that looked like this right here, it's sick, all right. The food, that's food. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's sick. Yeah. Sick means good. Watch, are you listening to me? Man, that's bad. That's bad. It is? No, I mean, it's good. Is it bad or good? No, it's good, bad. Depends on what time you're living. These words, look, you got to study God's word to show yourself approved. Is what Bible, that's what it says. So you get in this word and it says, wait a minute, this unbelieving mean, it just doesn't mean whether I believe in. Oh, I believe in God. Hallelujah. I believe in him. Do you? Okay, great. Have you put your trust in him? Have you turned your life over to him? Have you started taking on his commands and officiating the official duties that God has called you to, that this word has called you to? That's the big deal. That's where the most are. The most are in that group. Says, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to give a little bit. And I hope that preacher prays for me, and I get a little good grace. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if I pray for you all day. It doesn't matter if I stand before God and say, I believe them to be saved. He's going to open up a book, and he's going to say, no, they're not. Their name is not written in this book. That's what he's going to say. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is your name written in the book of life. You can't go unchange anything you've already done. Not one thing. So I may encourage you on this. Don't get hung up on that. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Whatever you've done, put it under the blood. And guess what? When you get to the great white throne judgment, it's going to be under the blood. Come on, somebody. Abominable means this. The word is deluso, and it means to abhor or to turn away in disgust. He's saying those that turn away in disgust from me, you ain't going to heaven. You that turn away from me, you're not going to heaven. But preacher, you don't understand. I got caught up in some kind of goofy gospel, and I watched him on TV, and he led me astray, and I'm disgusted with religion. So am I. But I'm not disgusted with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not disgusted with the throne of God. I'm not disgusted with the Holy God. And that excuse will not stand when you stand before a holy God. Because he said, I gave you the ability to read it and study it for yourself. I told you over and over, Paul over and over said, study the word, know the word, know the word. Let it correct you, let it instruct you, let it be a reproof to you. Let the word get in your spirit. There'll be no excuse, but that'll be written right there. On the day that you were disgusted with some preacher that you didn't even know, that's what's going to be said, Cameron. there's going to be many people. I talk to them. I talk to them in this community. Well, I don't go to church because I started watching so-and-so. I don't believe that. You don't even know the guy, number one. You ought to get your tail in a Bible-believing church somewhere local and put yourself to work. Well, that's too much like work. That's too much like officiating God's duties that he called you to do to me. That's why the most is going to go to hell. Boy, I'm preaching better than your amen in me this morning. Murderers. I ain't never murdered anybody. I feel the Holy Ghost. I see a lot of murderers in this room right now. I see murderers in this room. I look in the mirror and I see a murderer. Because we've stabbed people with our tongues. When we crush their spirit, we've killed them. We've put it in and we turned it with our tongue. You're a murderer. Your tongue. The Bible says it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's your tongue. He says his word is sharper than us, and it'll pierce to the dividing of the bone and the marrow. But your tongue is a sword, and it kills and destroys. He said if we could tame it, he said you could tame the ship quicker than you can tame your tongue. Murders. I'm glad I didn't research all these. I couldn't handle it. I repented every time I looked at one of these words. I had to repent, say, God, was that me? God, forgive me. God, search my heart. God, search my spirit. Why'd you do that, preacher? Well, because we got on this crazy thing your pastor called a fast. And that fast will do things to you if you'll let it. If you'll seek God when you fast, he'll begin to reveal things to you about you. It's a novel idea. Sexually immoral. Dear God, do you think for one second? I know you don't. Are we as a church so naive to think that a transgender person that calls him a pastor is going to go to heaven? No, sexually immoral. You go study it. That means anything sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman. That's what it means. Let's just be real clear. Repent and get that under the blood, you're sexually immoral. You're going to go to hell according to God's word. Preacher, how many times you say, are you going to say we're going to go to hell until I get through all these? Sorcerers. You dabble with tarot cards? Come on now. You play with it, you get your palm red. You call up the dead, won't know what's happening down there. Come on, somebody. You say, oh, that never happens here. You'd be surprised how many people in this room has turned to some type of sorcery. Don't raise your hands and start confessing out loud. Just keep that to yourself. Keep you and God work that out. So many people want to know the future. They want to know, well, do I got my next mate? Where is he coming? They go, yeah, come on. If you went to a palm reader and they said, well, your next mate's going to be 735 pounds, you're going to have no teeth, can't hear, and you're going to have to wait on her all your life. You'll say, well, that's not wrong. I ain't doing that. Come on, somebody. They tell you what you want to hear is what I'm telling you. They tell you what appeases the flesh. They don't tell you the things of the spirit. The word of God tells you the things of the spirit. The word of God tells you to come out and be separate and be holy, for he is holy. That's what the word of God tells you.
want you to know something. Your future's already been read, already been decided. It's here, right here. I ain't paying nobody to do nothing like that for me. Jesus said, I give it to you freely. I give it to you freely. You just got to receive it. Like he said there, it's that living water. You receive it and it's yours and live by it. Come on, somebody. I got to hurry. Idolaters, don't raise your hand. But if I was to ask the question, anybody got any little voodoo dolls, a little fat Buddha and all that? Anybody got them on your wall, up on your little shelf? Say, oh, that's so cute. Better get that junk out of your house, number one. That's another message. But better get that stuff out of your house. You're inviting that stuff in. But do you have any idols? Oh, I don't have any idols like that. No, I'm good. I'm going to just throw something out there real clear to you. Real clear. You ready? Anything, watch this, anything, you, your family, your stuff, your job, your money, anything that's in front of God is an idol. Are those other things important? Absolutely. But anything that's in front of God is an idol to you. You better check yourself. Come on, you better put that in check. I don't have to, you ain't enough to put in check. You better put it in check. Because you ain't careful, your idol will become trying to get more. Come on. You better put it in check. You better put it on the blood. Come on, you better turn over the Holy Ghost and let him see what he says about it. You better turn over and say, hey, what do you think about this? Sometimes you got to ask him about everything. No, you should already ask him about everything. Sometimes I don't have time to pray about. Sometimes I got to make a decision as a pastor right now. You know what? But I've been praying about, God, give me wisdom, give me direction, give me guidance. Let me hear your voice when I need to hear your voice on a minute's notice. And so some things happen, boom. You should know. I'm going to preach just a second. You should know, men. You should know if you should send that text back to that person that ain't your wife. You young people that ain't married, you should know whether you ought to send that picture over there to that person that you ain't married to. Come on now. You already know that in advance if you've been here very long. You know what you ought to do. You know what boundaries you ought to have. My daughter started dating. I set her down before her first date, set her down on my bed. I didn't have to tell her this, but I did. I said, now, darling, let's just get a few things straight because I don't want to have to go to jail. I was serious. Serious as a heart attack, I was. I said, now, let's get a few things straight. There's boundaries. This is yours and no one's else. This is yours, not his. Come on, somebody. Come on. This is yours. And next is daddy. Because I ain't playing. You got to set boundaries. And you got to establish them. And you got to get them out there. This is boundaries. These are things that's going to happen. And it ain't going any further. We got to have boundaries in our lives. You got to have boundaries as a Christian. And the moment you start dropping those boundaries is the moment that you let those little things come into your life. Not one affair. I don't even know why I'm talking about this stuff. Not one affair just happened. You can lie all you want to. You can make it real convincing. It just didn't happen. Didn't happen. It started with one little thing that led to another little thing, and you got so okay with it, you thought it was all right, and then we have said, well, I don't know where that came from. Well, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You need to repent of that too. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Now I got to move on. Oh, well, there it is. And all liars. It was just a little white lie. It was
said, I brought my glasses out here. I could really read that. I think it says, and all liars. You know, you're going to get to heaven and you're going to say, well, Lord, I've done that to protect them. It's just a little out here. If you'd read my word, it says over here that you lied. And it says that all liars. Your little white lie is a lie. It's either the truth, Fonda, or it's a lie. See, we want to tell God, we want to think God's got this gray area. We call it grace. No, it's a lie. A lie is a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. It's either the truth or it's a lie. Are you hearing me? I said it's a truth or it's a lie. And all liars shall have, with except the white lies. All liars shall have means you're going to get your part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you know that I could, I may do this Wednesday, I can prove to you biblically that there's different degrees of torment in hell? Oh, right out of the New Testament. Oh. Would you like me to do that for you on Wednesday? I may just do that. Since we're on this, you need to repent. Here's where I'm going to close. I'm going to cut this off. I'm going to close. I want you to listen. And musicians, I'm going to get you to stop for just a second. I got a 25-second clip that we're going to play. Do you guys have that? I got a 25-second clip, and I want you to watch. What I want you to, it ain't about watching it, because there ain't nothing on it. I want you to hear it. It's going to be in your hearing. Okay? Listen to me. It's going to be in your hearing. I want you in your mind to think about heaven and hell in this 25-second clip. And I'm going to bring you something right then. We're going to close. Go ahead, guys.
Sometimes it's not the silence that hurts the most. It's the sound of what used to be. I still hear your voice. Even when you're not here.
If you don't get right with God, it's not going to be silence in hell that bothers you. It's going to be the word of God that you repeatedly heard. It's going to be that voice that he says, I sent somebody to tell you. You sat in a church pew. You heard it on the radio. You read it in a book. You read my Bible every night, and you heard it. It's going to be those words that are over and over and over again. It's not going to hell and being silent. You're not going to get to hell and everything's going to be a big party, and you get to drink all the blue ribbon beer that you want to, your Michelob or your Budweiser. That's not what it's about. Hell is torment. Hell will be forever, and you're going to be in eternal torment. Don't miss this. Don't walk away, because when you walk out of this room and you do nothing with this gospel, you know, if I don't do anything with it, I didn't hear it. No, you can do nothing with it, but your spirit heard it. Do you hear me? Your spirit, you may block it out of your mind, but somewhere your spirit rests up and he grabbed the word of God and said, I got to get right with God. I'm going to go to hell. And you may discard it. You may overlook it, but your spirit. Yes, Santa.
better get right with God. I said, you better get right with God, because there's going to be one day you're going to stand before him, as the Word of God says, you're going to stand there and you're going to give an account for everything you've ever done, every word you've ever spoken. You'll give an account, and he is judging you by his word, not by what you think or what you believe. Today is to be a great day for an altar call. Let me tell you something, church. Brad, I hate preaching this kind of message, because it's not a feel-good message. But here's what it is. It's an eternal message. It's the message that keeps you out of hell. It's the message that'll get you into heaven for eternity. That's this kind of message. And the church has gotten into, I want you to feel good. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have lots of things and lots of money. And you can just show up when you want to. And you can live like the devil. And you can sleep with him or sleep or sit with his sister or whatever you want to do. And you still make it to heaven. No, you're going to hell. Can't do it. Get right with God and get right today. Get right with God and get right today. There it is. Today is the day of salvation. Preacher, what are they going to think if I come up there? They're probably going to think that God will think the same thing that he did when I started studying some of them words, when I had to get on my knees and said, dear God, help me. He said, now, boy, you're finally getting it. You're finally getting it. You put your pride aside. You come to me. You put all that stuff aside. You finally come. You're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. Some of you need to start fasting. Well, I thought we just finished the fast. Well, you should never finish a fast. If you'd hear Wednesday, you'd have heard that. You should always be some kind of fasting, because it draws you close to God. Get that junk out of the way. You're bombarded 18 hours a day with media and junk and foolishness and stupidity and all that stuff, and you just have very little time with God. And you wonder, oh, I don't know why I ain't making progress with God. If you don't know him, I want you to come. Preacher, you just put it right out there. You didn't have us close our eyes or bow our heads or anything like that. I'm here to tell you, you're going to stand before God, and he's not going to say, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your head, and I want you to be okay, and I want you to have warm fuzzies when I send it you to hell. If you don't know him, you need to come to the altar. If you don't know him, you need to get right with God. If you don't know him, you need to get right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we prayed and fasted this week, Lord, that you would heal people, Lord, that you'd deliver people, Lord, you'd break bondages off of people, Lord, you'd set them free from the chains, Lord, not only of addictions, but Lord, of the flesh. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as I preach what I believe you've laid upon my heart, the gospel has been heard and preached. If you don't know him, I want you to come. If you do know him, and you say, there's a lot of things in my life I need to work on, you need to come up here and let's get you huddled up with some prayer people. We all going to be praying, because we're all in that boat. You need to come on up to the front. If that's you, you got something in your life you need God to deal with, I ask you, Lord, to move upon people. I know you move, Lord, but I'll tell you what. I bind the spirit of flesh in this place. I bind that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, loose the people. Lord, I pray your presence loose people for them to know where they are, what they need to do in their life. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's things in our lives, Lord, that we need to get under blood. Lord, doesn't mean that we're not saved. It means there's some things that God needs to work on in your life, and you need to turn those loose. You need to turn them over to God. You need to let it go. Let it go. Father, in the name
name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the, all across the building, just raise up your hand and begin to worship. You and the altar, begin to worship him. Begin to worship him right now. Lord, there's things in my life I need to turn over to you. And I give them to you right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it might be, if that's you, if that's you, if that's you. I need some men and some ladies in behind these. Begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I need you to come quickly. I need you to come quickly. I need some men, I need some ladies. Come on over. Come on. Come on. Come on. that we draw nigh to God, we resist the devil, and he'll flee. Lord, as we draw close to you, Lord, help us to be in tune with you, step for step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's doing a work today. Spirit's in you. That word's in you. That word, it's not coming back void. That's what the word says. It goes out and it's going to accomplish. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let me bless you. Father, we thank you. We ask that your face would shine upon us. We'd find favor with God and with man. Lord, that job promotions, raises, prosperity, increase would come our way. And that peace would blanket every rooftop. So that when we lay down this evening or this afternoon, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen and amen. Come back Wednesday. I'll teach you on certain categories or departments.